Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good morning, good morning. This is Pastor Keith. I'm Black Talk Radio this morning. I welcome you to the show. Hopefully it'll be a great, fantastic show like it usually is. I'm going to need your thoughts, prayers, blessings, everything that you can send my way. Dave is supposed to be joining us. He's not here yet, but with that being the case, I am here. Hopefully he'll join us like yesterday, but if not, we have a good show. He's pretty much laid out what we're going to do today. So I'm going to need a lot of feedback and some guidance and everything else you can muster up to help me. With that being said, today's show is actually a continuation of yesterday's show. And that show was going to be, this year will be one of troubling occurrences. And this would be part two. And we were going through yesterday and we, got into several subjects, just some of the things that are on the very near horizon. Everything points to a year of great turbulence for this country. And we got into several things yesterday, which showed where the nations globally were pretty pulling away from the United States. They were forming alliances and things with each other, several which the United States has bent over backwards, tried to not make happen, those sort of things. We are already aware of what's going on with the economy, where it's going. We're aware of who is the president of the country, which doesn't seem to be to our advantage in any manner. So we're going to delve into those things a little bit more this morning. We're going to start out with an article, and this article is response to U.S. global bullying, Iran, India, ditch dollar to continue trading oil despite sanctions. That's right in line with some of the things we were just talking about. I'll read again, response to U.S. global bullying, something that we've excelled in for as long as, well, probably since the beginning of this country. It says, response to U.S. global bullying, Iran, India ditched dollar to continue trading oil despite sanctions. That's from the RT International. That's definitely an article that you need to read, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. The next article comes from the Western Journal. It says, California governor, lawmakers confront utility bankruptcy. Another article worth checking out, we talked about, I believe this was the eighth largest utility company in the world. It's actually, I believe, owned by Israel. It's based out of California. And because of all those massive fires that's come about, massive lawsuits against the company, they're saying that they simply cannot pay them, make them insolvent. This is going to have huge implications on the United States because, as stated earlier, our infrastructure, our utilities, et cetera, are definitely, if not the one of our weakest links in this country already. So to have one of the largest utility companies going down even before anybody does anything, that's going to be significant. The next article is Washington in panic mode as Trump reportedly mulled withdrawal from NATO. We'll talk about that a little bit later in this show too, but again, huge implications for this country. The next article comes from Press TV. It says, Press TV, Venezuela to refine tons of gold in Turkey. It says Venezuela has sent a committee to Turkey to sign a contract enabling refining of thousands of tons of gold at central Turkish facilities. The team has been dispatched to Turkey's province in Kordofan, where the refineries are located, to conduct the talks leading to the deal. Various Turkish media outlets reported on Monday. Again, this goes back to what David's talking about. We are going to a global society in which it's going to be asset-driven, not credit-driven. The fact of the matter is we're looking at countries whereas we dominate it because of our financial positioning. That's no longer be the case because they have massive assets, which I personally don't believe the United States holds anymore. So not only have they lost their financial standing, they've also lost their credibility, and also I believe their military stronghold as well. So check out that article. U.S. extends troop deployment at Mexico border for 8 months. U.S. military role at the border has been widely debated, in part because it began days before the November midterm election and was attacked by critics as a political ploy. I think that stands much greater than that, too, because not only is it political ploy, but it's also expanding the power of the president. It's giving him leeway that he was never really given before. So I believe it's smoke and mirrors to the big picture, but it's all accumulative. So check out that article.
Yes, sir. You just reminded me of something. You know, when you said that he's trying to expand the powers of the Oval Office of the presidency, they were saying that when George W. Bush was in power, and then when Obama came in, he expanded it, executive power even more. And it just seems like we're on this slope, man, this downward slope to where, you know, it's like we want a monarchy or something, man, a dictator or something. I agree with you. That has been the case with the past three presidents, that they always expand the power of the executive branch beyond what the Constitution states.
Scotty, I agree with you 100%. That has definitely been the case. One of the things that I thought was interesting, there's a movie out, I think it's showing in the theaters right now. Very few people have gone to go see it, but it's called Vice, and it's talking about the Vice President Dick Cheney and what he did when he got to office. It's pretty enlightening, our whole lot of roles, but that was huge. During that same time with 9-1-1, I'm sure you remember, as most people do, they came out with the Patriot Act, which expanded the powers unbelievably. So I agree with you 100%. The only thing is, though, Scotty, I think it's exceptionally more dangerous now because their powers have been extended so far and so greatly already. And then to put that person that presently holds that seat.
I agree.
It just makes it 1,000 times more dangerous.
Hey, there's a video that I posted, listeners in BTR community, or I may have posted it to Black Talk Radio Network. Anyway, the Real News, based out of Baltimore, did a film review of Vice, which is about Dick Cheney, the most powerful vice president ever. A lot of people saying that he was in charge, basically. He was the president. But Colonel Wilkerson, who was the right-hand man of, what's his name? It used to be the black general. What, I forget his name. Colin Powell. Yeah.
Colin Powell.
Yeah. And so, man, they broke down the film and was saying what was true, what wasn't true, or what was a little true, and the rest was dramatic license. And then Colonel Wilkerson also said, he's retired now, but Colonel Wilkerson also said that the CIA intelligence agencies and Cheney and them wrote that script, man, for that. And see, I've interviewed a professor about, you know, she's a media professor, you know, on teaching about, you know, journalism and the history of media and whatnot. And she said that Hollywood often funds these war movies and stuff. The Pentagon will fund them, or, you know, the CIA will fund them, because it's all part of the propaganda program and what have you. So I'm looking at Vice in the same way as them trying to rewrite history. But I mean, Wilkerson exposed a lot of stuff that I had never heard before. But it's on The Real News. They have a YouTube channel, The Real News.
Okay, so with that said, Scotty, so when he's doing this Vice, is he applauding it?
No, he was against Cheney and them, and he was just talking about how they knew that intelligence was wrong and had been cooked. You know, when Powell gave the speech, and it was a really in-depth interview, and he was just talking about how the CIA was lying, you know. And that's why today I shake my head at these people who in the past have been very, very critical of the CIA, but since they don't like Trump, I mean, I don't like him either, but it's not a matter of me liking him or disliking him. It is what it is. He does what he does. And but, you know, them saying that they're highly confident that the Russians did this or the Russians did that, I don't trust anything from the CIA. Maybe the Russians did, maybe they didn't, but I know what you've done in your history. And you're not, you know, you're not one to be trusted.
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly, Scotty. I think that, and that applies to almost every discussion that we have on every level, you know. And what invariably happens is, no matter what it is that you're discussing, the people will invariably run to each extreme, to either side. And there's always a middle. There's always a balance. But we don't get to hear that. So I agree with that 100%. I think the thing that scares me about the CIA, et cetera, is, without a doubt, a lot of these things they've done throughout history are nothing less than dastardly. I mean, just evil, corrupt, the whole nine yards. But with that being the case, and this doesn't justify it at all, but I think with that being the case, I think generally speaking, they were doing it to further the advantages of the United States. Does the end justify the means? I say no. But still, they were trying to further the advantages in the United States. With the present situation, I don't see the person in charge doing that anymore, which makes it exceptionally foreboding, if you will. If that makes any sense. But with that being said, I would encourage you to go see that movie, Vice. It's a lightning on a whole lot of things, and it really will explain a lot of how we got to where we are today. Okay, the next article was, it comes out of CNN, And it said, debt? What debt? A $22 trillion, here's the argument that national debt doesn't matter. I just read a little excerpt from it. It says, so much ink has been spilled for so long on the national debt, it might be nice if that $22 trillion plus on the red side of the U.S. balance sheet just didn't really matter. Again, I think that kind of goes into the cyclical argument that as far as that $22 trillion debt doesn't matter, I don't think it really does, because it's not really a true picture of how things are operating. You know, we've been in debt for at least a decade, a huge debt. And the $22 trillion doesn't matter, because I think it's much greater than that. But the thing is, it doesn't matter because of what is the debt of. We just print money. Now, will it matter? Absolutely, because as we go to the new economy, that's going to be asset-based. It's going to make all the difference in the world. It's going to be a whole new system in which the $1 trillion is going to disappear as far as that currency goes. Now, it's going to make another difference on the other side, because all that money that's owed to the other nations, even though they're never going to get it, is going to have a huge impact with how the United States is treated by the nations and by the world because of it. These are my opinions I'm putting out. So if you got any comments or any suggestions or anything, just call in and let yourself be heard. Next article comes by CNBC. It says PG&E stock crashes 52% as utility says it will file for bankruptcy because of wildfires liability. We just talked about that earlier. I think that was one of the first articles that we addressed this morning. We could talk about that a little bit later. But it says the shares of the company plunged 52% to 8.38 per share Monday, one day after the company said that chief executive Keisha Williams was stepping down. Huge implications. Next article comes out of the U.S. Yao Wenchen. China's exports shrink most in 2 years, raising risk to global. China's exports unexpectedly fell the most in 2 years in December, while imports also contracted, pointing to further weakness in the world's second largest economy in 2019 and deteriorating global demand. This is definitely going to be a global crisis, without a doubt. But I think that the hardest is going to be hit. If you go back to President Trump, he said that this was going to hit China, it's going to hit them hard, as these trade wars will do, and it is. But I think that the bulk of the impact is invariably going to be the greatest against us. Also, the other thing that Dave often points out, he says, look, the fact of the matter is global trade wars always lead into global military wars. So this is just setting up for what invariably is about to happen. And again, when that does happen, I think that we will bear most of the brunt because of it. Out of CNBC Network, the next article comes, teachers in Los Angeles want more than a raise. Here's why over 30,000 went on strike Tuesday. There's over 30,000 teachers went on strike in Los Angeles County today. The Los Angeles Unified School District serves 640,000 students and is the second biggest school district in the country. I haven't heard nothing for a little bit. Am I still on? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, moving on. The last time Los Angeles teachers went on strike was 1989. The protest follows a string a successful teacher strikes across the country. Listen, I was reading an article about this the other day, and I'll tell you a little something about myself. I've done a few things in the day. We've talked about some of them. I was actually served in three branches of the military, the Army, the Air Force, and Marine Corps. I was Dallas Police Department, Sheriff Department, managed Red Lobster. I've done a whole myriad of things. But also, for a couple of years, I taught school here in the DISD, Dallas Independent School District. As a police officer, I was approached many times, and people would say, you know what, officer, thank you for your service. I could not do what you do. And I would thank them, but my comment back to them was, if you think trying being a police officer is tough, try to be a teacher. I would think long and hard before I would ever go back to being a law enforcement in today's and age. But I would have to think even longer and harder to be a teacher today. Their lot is my goodness, almost incomprehensible. But as these teachers are protesting, it says it's much more than a raise. But I tell you something, for what they go through, their money is absurd. But I think on the bigger picture of this, I was reading an article and they were saying that the bigger problem is simply they don't have the money to pay these teachers.
You know, Dave, I'm sorry, Keith. I agree with you. Being a teacher is a tough job. I got my sister, my baby sister is a teacher. My cousin that lives next door is a teacher. She teaches in Gaston County. My cousin teaches in Mecklenburg County. And I'm telling you, man, my sister has to take a second job, man. She has another job she goes to at night. Plus, she drives for Uber. And my cousin, man, he seen to always be broke, you know? And I'm like, man, I hope because this will be the first year that he's taken over his father's property that his father left to him. I'm like, dude, I hope you're saving up to pay your taxes, you know? So teachers are vastly underpaid in the school systems. Now, I can't really say that about the school system here in Gaston County. I haven't heard of any kind of shortages or anything like that. But like that L.A. story, you know, I heard this teacher giving a speech about why he was striking, and he was just saying how, you know, the students aren't getting the necessary things that they need for a good learning environment due to, you know, it's just not being budgeted for them.
That's true. As far as what you said about your sister, her getting a second job or the third job, that by no means is the exception. I hear that story constantly that they have to do these things just to make ends meet. But to address the other part of your comment, as I know a lot of these teachers that I teach in the DISD school district, et cetera, you're exactly right. They're spending money out of their pockets to supply a lot of the things that they need in the classroom. So you have a couple of things going on. Not only does it impact the kids greatly in a negative way, but you have a huge shortage of teachers because they simply don't want to do it anymore. Now, I know several people that are majoring in education, et cetera, but what they're finding is a lot of these teachers that come out bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and all that entering to the classroom, guess what? They get there, they spend maybe 2 or 3 years in that classroom, and they're like, oh, I had enough of this. They're not being retained because the situations are so bad. So that's something to look out for. But on the bigger scale of things, and we've talked about this the last few days also, is the United States is in position. Not only can they not compete industrially and all those other things, but we can't compete intellectually. The fact of the matter is what catapulted the United States to the forefront like we once were is because the United States as a whole were better educated than most countries. I'm going to reach out for you on this one, Scott. Do you agree with that or no?
Yeah, yes, I would agree with that. And I mean, just the lack of what I would think would be easy, what I think would be basic knowledge about history, a lot of people don't know, you know, and then, you know, not teaching them to be able to critically think, you know, that's how inventions come about, is a person who's able to critically think. You have to figure out, okay, I'm trying to make this particular thing work, it's not working this way, you know, you got to critically think about to bring it about. So I would agree with you, Keith, that the United States, the general population, isn't as educated as some of the other countries like China and, you know, Europe even as well. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I think I was reading something else too. And I think that as far as rank, as far as education and levels of education as governments go, I think we were somewhere around 28. So we're not just talking about China anymore. We're not just talking about a few countries. We're talking about 28. As far as I'm concerned, that takes us out of the running for too many things. Okay, the next article. It's out of the RT International. It says, what Trump's Syrian withdrawal really reveals. It says, the wise decision is greeted by denunciations, obstructionists, imperial thinking, and more Russia bashing. President Trump was wrong in asserting that the United States destroyed the Islamic State's territorial statehood and in large part of Syria, Russia, and its allies accomplished. But he is right in proposing to withdraw some 2,000 American forces from that tragically worn, ravaged country.
Hey, Keith.
Sir.
I think Donald Trump might be on to something. He made a comment that a lot of people didn't pick up on, and certainly the mainstream media wasn't going to pick up on it or pontificate further on it. But he said the CIA cooked the books on ISIS, right? So meaning that they're not as big, they're not as bad as what they're being made out to be. And so I was I came across this article about the Kurds the other day, and Human Rights Watch is criticizing the Kurds because the Kurds have been capturing young people in Syria and then torturing them and making them confess to being members of ISIS. So I would say, you know, that we really are getting second and third hand information, and we can't really know, sitting where I'm sitting where you sitting, what's really going on. But I thought that was really interesting that the Human Rights Watch is calling out the Kurds for torturing young men into confessing to being a part of ISIS when they're not.
What Human Rights was that, Scotty?
Human Rights Watch.
That's out of the United States?
I think they're based in the United States, but it's a global organization.
Because I think we had talked about a week or two, Scotty, about the situation, whereas the United States has not responded to the humanitarian rights organization. No, it was the United Nations on human rights issues since, I'm thinking, like February and March of last year.
Didn't they leave that that UN body that kind of focuses on human rights and stuff? I think they left it in protest, talking about, oh, they criticizing Israel, we're leaving. I remember Nikki Haley saying that.
That would stand to reason, That would also probably stand the reason why she left also. Maybe because she knew all that stuff that she was talking didn't hold up with the stance that the United States was taking on these things. How do you criticize humanitarian violations in any country if you're not even responding to them in your own? Again, you have no... I remember she was ahead of the United Nations and she was trying to convince them to do something. And she even ended up threatening them. But, you know, she was standing on a thin ice platform because how are you going to elbow us up in the corner on this thing when you're not even doing it? The other thing that you talked about was this whole Syrian withdrawal. What do you say? I mean, we've been... Our military, as in my opinion, our military is half of the reason why we are in the dire straits that we are. I mean, it's been a black hole as far as the money goes.
Right.
It's been the source of ill feelings towards us throughout the world.
But also, you know, I was thinking about this the other day as this political pundit on Twitter was talking about, you know, how the Democrats don't support the troops and all this and that. And I was like, wait a minute. First of all, though, that huge military budget was bipartisanly passed. Second of all, I would say, nobody cares about the troops, because if you actually cared about these young men and women, you wouldn't be creating all of these casualties, people missing limbs and stuff, in military conflicts that have nothing to do with U.S. security, but has to do with U.S. corporate hedge money and stealing resources. So how you gonna say you care about me when you keep sending me off to die for no good darn reason? That's what I think about it. 2,000 troops is not a lot of troops in Syria. And then they're not even supposed to be there. That's an illegal occupation. Congress never authorized that. And so I know Dave says he doesn't think that they're going to withdraw. You know, I don't know. I can't say. I'm not there to verify, but I have been reading reports that they are doing a slow withdrawal right now, and they're focusing on bringing the equipment back and then the troops. It won't take long to evacuate 2,000 troops. So, you know, that's what I think about it, man. I'm like a libertarian when it comes to these foreign wars, man, foreign entanglements. I kind of like Ron Paul's thinking, you know. If we're going to engage with other countries, let's do it in trade, not, you know, in military conflicts. That's you know, like you said, draining us of money, draining us of human beings, you know, and just creating all of these problems that are just simply, in my opinion, unsustainable.
Yeah, Scotty, I agree. There's so many implications here. You know, there's so many. Like we said, that you have it's a black hole of money. And the reason being is because all that money that's supposed to be going towards the military budget is not going to the military. It's going to the military complex, which doesn't make it to the soldiers. It doesn't make it to their immediate well-being and their care, et cetera, et cetera. It's all being scraped by the fat cats on the top that are draining that money.
Yeah, I saw this guy on the Young Turks the other day, and he had this pie chart. And, I mean, the biggest part, over half of the chart, was taken up by the military budget. And then when you looked at the little sliver for veterans, then, you know, that kind of tell you where their priorities are. They don't really care about the veterans, because they would devote more money towards treating them for PTSD and you know, they're losing limbs and all sorts of problems. But listen, we got a call I think that's Brother Davis, area code 717. You're on Tando Radio Show. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, good morning, brothers. I just wanted to give a shout-out about tomorrow's show, letting know we will be back tomorrow for tomorrow's show, and we're looking forward to that. And you guys have an excellent show today. I think one of the biggest problems that with society, the way it's been designed, it's designed to deceive people out of their resources. If you look at the people who are taking money that aren't even connected to the system, look at the Federal Reserve. They're private bankers. They're taking money. They're not even connected to the system. The wars that we go to, they're basically wars for corporate control of other countries' resources. They have nothing to do with the morality or the so-called democratic concepts that literally have been what they've used to lead us into these wars. We are at the end of an age that is dying, and we're seeing it by the collapse of all the establishments. So it's going to be uncomfortable and rough for a period of time. But when we come out of this, we cannot carry old ways into new construction. And that's what it's actually going to be. It's going to be a reconstruction that's based probably in reverse. What does that mean? It's going to be based on either the spiritual laws or religious laws. But either way it goes, war cannot save humanity. War has caused the destruction of humanity based on greed. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that we face today, is that people thought things that were good, like the internet, have been tools used against us. I just wanted to add that, brothers. Great show, and I'm looking forward to return tomorrow.
Well, hold on, Brother Davis, before you go. Just out of curiosity, you said when we come out of this, what kind of picture do you might see that to look like?
Well, personally, I see it as going to be those people who evolve on a human level will return back to the cosmological basis of life as we know it. Other than that, we'll be victimized.
Interesting. And I think you're exactly right. Actually, we were and I know you have to go. So with that, I appreciate everything that you do. I want to also say that I am looking forward to your return on Wise Wednesday. I know that's going to be a heck of a show. Appreciate all that you do.
Thank you, brothers. And look, continue what you're doing. I'm listening. And I hope that the people who are listening are really receiving the message, because the tool that we have right now is what's getting it out, and we need to keep it alive. Peace.
You be blessed. He said a couple of things. Let me return back to where we were talking, though, real fast. Back to what you were saying, Scotty. This whole Syrian thing, it touches our so many aspects. Why? Because, one, it's a repeat of... You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And what I mean by that is the fact of the matter is the military complex put us to where we are to a large extent. But by the same token, if we withdraw out of there, does that not leave a hole that's going to be filled just like all the other times when we've gone in there and disrupted everything, left it in disarray? Guess what? That never works out well. But by the same token, like you said, we shouldn't have never been in there in the first place. And I think a part of that also is the other part that you were saying about them not caring. And we brought this up on the air a couple of times in the past also, is that one time a great part of the population served in our military in the past. If you look at the number of our politicians in days past, a large number of them served. Today, you got less than 10% of any of them that serve in the military. So it has no faith to them. They can't relate to it. It's just a tool at their disposal that they don't care about because they don't know anything about it. It's kind of like when Trump told that other leader, he says, I got a bigger button than you do. Well, how irresponsible a statement is that? But what's his level of knowledge concerning it? He has no idea.
You know, something you said about earlier, somebody saying, you know, thank you for what you do as a police officer. You know, I was just posting about this the other day. You know, this guy on Twitter, we were discussing the issue. I can't remember the specific issue, but anyway, yeah, it was about a cop. Okay, it was about a recent shooting where a mentally ill person had went to this lady's house. He didn't have no shoes on. He was a paranoid schizophrenic, clinically diagnosed, and was, you know, getting treatment and what have you. But, you know, so he ends up at this lady's house 1 o'clock in the morning, knocking on the door, saying, and he's legally blind. So he probably can just see shapes and stuff like that, but he's legally blind. But he was out, he goes out by himself and what have you. But anyway, She gives him $10 to catch some transit home. He doesn't leave. He sits on the porch and falls asleep. She becomes worried, calls police. Police come. He wakes up, takes off running into the woman's house. Make a long story short, he ends up pulling a knife on the cop. The cop ends up killing him. Now, I said, if everything is true that's being reported, then no, I don't blame the officer. You know, I could see myself in that situation, somebody coming at me, you know, with a knife or whatnot. I say, if everything's true, no, I'm not going to blame that officer for taking it. It's an unfortunate series of events that brought that about. And so then, you know, people were saying how cops are unfairly judged. And I was like, wait a minute. I said, with all the people they do murder, that we know they, you know, use unjustified force, excessive force, brutality and what. That's why people not willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. And so then he started talking about how he used to be a cop and how he kept me safe and all that. I was like, don't try that on me. I was like, I served in the military, and I can tell you right now it didn't have nothing to do with your security. And then so he was like, oh, thank you for your service. I said, don't thank me for my service because I ain't do it for you. Okay, I did it for the GI Bill for some college money. And that Gulf War I was in, it was based on lies. It was BS. So what are you thanking me for? And so I started thinking about that later, you know, and I'm going to start just telling people the truth. Don't thank me for my service because I don't want to contribute to the propaganda. Because see, then these young people see these people thanking you for your service and holding you up like you special and you a hero and all this and that. Then that makes them want to join. And then the cycle just continues. And I'm not going to be a part of providing cannon fodder to them.
Well, I got mixed feelings on that, Scotty, and I'll tell you why. And I find this to be true in everything that I've done. Anytime you paint with a broad brush, things are going to get lost. And I'll give you several examples. As a police officer, and I battled this because I was a police officer, but I was also a man of color. And a lot of times those are directly conflicting. But there's so many aspects to deal with. Like, for instance, the first time that you were talking about the call that was answered with that guy, and he ended up shooting this guy with schizophrenia. You hear about those cases all the time. The fact of the matter is when a police officer responds to a call, he has no choice. He can't walk away from that call. That thing has to be resolved. Now, what happens is, and today, Nate, that police officer is kind of like one of these war veterans. He don't have a lot of say in the overall situation. He's got to deal with it the best way he can deal with it. And oftentimes, his life is in danger in dealing with it. When the stuff hits in his department, most of the time, is not going to back him up because if it looks bad, it makes them look bad, and they're going to move themselves from you almost immediately. He's in a situation where he's dealing with the public, and that could be positive and that could be negative. It depends on who he's in front of. And that's the same thing with that police officer. So what happens is, I know so many police officers that lay their lives on the line, give out of their pockets, care for their people, go above and beyond every day. They're out there, and they're out there because that's their heart to do that. By the same token, you have all these other guys that are there simply because they like that seat of power. They take advantage of it, mistreat people out there for all their own reasons, use it in a way to be an advantage in themselves. There's no denying that.
And that's to my point, Keith. That's what I was trying to tell the other guy. People are not given, they're not judging individual situations like that, because we keep seeing cases where excessive force was used and they killed somebody and they took somebody's life unneedlessly. So, you know, I understand why people aren't willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. Me, I'm always trying to judge things based on the facts. I need the individual facts. I can't paint with a broad brush. But, you know, like somebody else said, though, Keith, and I disagree with you on, it might have been like that when you were at the department you was working at, where they had your back, where if you did something wrong, they didn't have your back. That's not the case today. The case today is you got these belligerent heads of police unions who go out there and propagandize just to get the cop off, regardless of the facts. You know, every time it's very rare today where a police union doesn't help pay for the defense fees or support, either through money or through words, propaganda, an officer who has been accused. It's kind of different today, man. I feel like.
Well, I think that oftentimes the ones that hit the media, that's the case. But I know too many police officers on the street that they'll get into a situation and they don't have no backing. You know, their life literally is shut down, not only professionally, but individually and as far as their family and health. So it's a bad situation.
But I'm sorry, I kind of...
know what you're talking about. We still have to deal with the fact that it's all in this country. And then now you have the lines of division that we've always suffered through, especially with color, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a mess.
You know, I kind of went off on a tangent, but you were talking about less than 10% of the population has ever served. And, you know, again, I told this dude, you know, we got a volunteer army. Ain't nobody being drafted. So anybody who goes into the military knowing that the U.S. military is used as a bludgeon to batter other nations, and it's not for anything altruistic that's really truly benefiting humanity, because look at how they treat their own citizens. You know, people volunteer for that, you know, and I feel like if there was a draft, and I'm not for the draft, but if there was a draft, you know, I think more it would be less people cheering on. You know, the system, when it's going to war, it'll be more people seeking out the truth because, hey, their son or daughter just got drafted and they don't want them to get killed over lies and stuff like that. But because it's a very small percentage and most people go in the military because of poverty or not wanting to go further into poverty with student loan debt and all of that, which, you know, if you have it and you go in there, they'll help you pay it off. But, you know, if we had a draft, then I feel like we wouldn't be in as many wars because the masses of the populations would be directly affected because of a family member. And, you know, they'll be on them congressmen and congresswomen and what have you about, hey, why in the hell are we in Syria? Did he blow up something in the United States? Why are we there? You know, so those are my thoughts on that.
And I think those are huge, Scotty, and I'll tell you why, and I'll take it a step farther, and I'll be honest with you, because, again, it's not as clear as clean water. And what I mean by that is today, if I have a family member, I would not encourage them positively to go in the military. I wouldn't. Not in the climate in which we presently find ourselves. But with that being said, if we would go back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever, I would have been a strong proponent of everybody in the country got to serve for 4 years. Everybody, like Israel does. And I think that if that would have happened, I think that exactly what you said, it would have changed everything. It would have changed the mindset of the politicians. It changed the mindset of the people, the whole nine. But I think because of the mess that we find ourselves in today, it's kind of too late to do that. But if, let's say, like Brother Scotty said, if all this stuff hits the fan and those that are lucky enough to emerge on the other side when they start it over again, if they were to start as a country, whatever, I think one of the first things I would do would make it mandatory for all citizens to serve 4 years.
That was Brother Davis.
Pardon me?
That was Brother Davis. Which yeah. leads me to a question, and then we got to take a break after you respond, but leads me to a question. I was thinking about this the other day. I was listening, you know, to Dave talk and what have you, and he talks about the untied states, and I really, really like that term. And I was like, okay, let's say the U.S. government does shut down or does the corporation dissolves. Does it have to be chaotic out there? Is the sky going to fall through or what? Or certainly there will be some difficulties, but you already got infrastructure in your state. You already got a state government. You already got state law enforcement. You already got state military, you know, what have you, reserves, National Guard or whatnot. You have everything that you need to provide for the security and the needs of the people in your state, just operating on a smaller level. So that's what I see on the other side, you know, to answer the question. It doesn't have to be chaotic, like, you know, Fear of the Walking Dead or some scenario like that, Mad Max, you know, and no, I don't believe that it would just all fall apart like that and it'd be chaos out in the street. I think I would like to think that man's a little bit more involved in that these days. I certainly don't see that happening where I live, man. I see my neighbors, my relatives pulling together, man, you know? And so just something to think about. Does it have to be that chaotic situation if we see the untied states? You know, to me, that might be better.
Interesting. Okay, we'll go to a break and we'll talk about that some more on our return.
All right, you're listening to Tando Radio Show. The telephone number 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. Hit the star key twice to open up your mic and we'll be back on the other side.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
We're back, Keith.
Okay, welcome back to Black Talk Radio. Hey, so I'm being forced to admit all these things about myself, so I have to admit the fact that unfortunately, I can't hold water. So we've gotten into all these discussions, and we haven't even gone through all the articles. Scotty, hold on to your thoughts of the last thing you were talking about, because I want to go back to that as far as what you were saying about already have the infrastructure in the individual states and stuff. But let's get through the rest of these articles, and then we'll go back and we return to discuss them as you desire. Also, again, anybody that's listening who feels though they want to make a comment, just call in, make your comment. We welcome you to do so. And we'll go on with these articles. Next article comes out as Sputnik News, and it says, Iran moves towards new uranium enrichment, Iranian nuclear chief says. The Middle East, short of URL, the head of Iran's nuclear program, has told the Iranian state television that the Iranian Atomic Energy Organization is about to create new types of nuclear fuel on its own. These are the things in which they were trying to avoid with the nuclear agreement that they had. Of course, the United States pulled out of that. And they did a pretty good job of holding that together even after that happened. But that's unraveling, and this is going to be the natural conclusion of it, that people are going to go off and do what they want to do. And you can't blame them. That's exactly what the United States would have done. We'll get back to that. The next article comes out as strategic culture. And I think we read this the other day. It says a record number of Americans no longer want to live in the U.S. Anyone still calling America the land of the free is delusional at best. Things continue to go from bad to worse in the United States, and people are feeling it. So much so that a record number of Americans no longer want to live in the United States at all. I think that's very interesting. Definitely something I want to comment about. Next article comes out of RT International, and it says, prepare to counter any threat. Russia's top 10 military events of 2018. It says, Russia's Ministry of Defense managed to keep up the high standards of national defense potential in 2018. Despite all the challenges related to budgetary restrictions compared to 2017, the key indicators in the development of Russia's army and navy are showing growth, however modest. Again, we spend 10 times more than any country does, and I think the next three or four countries combined. I think that's such a poor level of comparison because, like we said early in this conversation, our money is just being thrown down the hole, whereas I think that the money that these other countries do spend in the military, guess what? They're actually going to the military. We talked about the fact that we're already behind in so many areas as far as weaponry, as far as military technology, et cetera, et cetera. Well, how would that even be possible with the amount of money being spent? The next article comes out of NPR.org. It says, Trump still considering national emergency declaration as shutdown negotiations continue. The partial government shutdown, already the longest in U.S. history, continues with no end in sight. The government shutdown over the border wall continues. Here is the morning talk about the political action or lack thereof in NPR's Mara liaison. That is an article worth considering. I want to talk about that a little bit also. Because this shutdown, I don't believe, has anything to do with our south border wall. It's just a smoke and mirrors to cover up other things. Russia to shoot down disaster-threatening aircraft despite passengers aboard. We read about that yesterday. A bang or a whimper. This is coming out of Strategic Culture. A bang or a whimper. If Trump is overthrown, what comes next? It's a new year, and the American Cold Civil War has shifted to its next phase. With the Petrograd Soviet, formerly the Somme Institute of Noble Maidens, Speaker Nancy Pelosi controlled the House of Representatives ensconced at the end of the Pennsylvania Avenue. I think that's a very interesting question. We're looking at, we need to get him out of that president's seat, but that's definitely something worth discussing, what's going to happen if we do that. Next article is out of Sputnik News, fatal mistake. Turkey slams Trump over warning on economic devastation. Tensions between Ankara and Washington have farther escalated over the Kurdish issue as Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu announced last week that Ankara would launch a military operation east of the Euphrates River if the United States failed to withdraw its troops from the Arabic Republic in time. More icing on the cake on that path that we're already in a sprint down. Out of South China Morning News, is Xi Jinping's Tehran reunification push hastening a U.S.-China clash? Well, those are the articles for today. We've discussed some of those. Scotty, I think the last one you were talking about was you were saying that you don't think it would be as catastrophic afterwards because of the state.
No, I'm not making a prediction. Because I'm not a prophet, but I was asking a question. Does it have to be this scenario that has been painted by many different people, and especially by Hollywood, you know? So I'm saying, let's think about this logically. So that means that the federal government down there wouldn't be passing no laws. Would a lot of people be out of work? Yes, they would be out of work. But, you know, I've heard people complain about the TSA, which was expanded during the Patriot Act. There was no TSA before that and what have you. And then how, you know, these TSA agents have been accused and convicted of abusing people, molesting people. Now, all of a sudden, you know, because of you against a celebrity figurehead, as they would say, you buy into the propaganda of feeling sorry for these people. You know what I'm saying? When they're part of the machine that's used to oppress you and what have you. So let's just say that the FBI shut down, the Justice Department shut down. There's just no more Washington, D.C., no central control. That's really what we're talking about. When we talk about central banks, we're talking about a central government that's controlling everybody else. But each and every one of these states have a state government, and then you break it down further. You got a county government. Then you break it down further. You got a town. You got cities. So what I'm saying is those people, those government systems, are still going to be in place, but just on the state level without a central controller. So does it always have to be worst case scenario, or could it be a smoother transition? Because, you know, people will still show, I think, cops, like you were talking about, the ones that want to do good, they'll still go to work. They'll still answer those calls. You know, the states have their own economies already. You know, they had their own employees and what have you. They had their own businesses. So I'm saying it's not got to, I don't think, I'm not projecting it. I'm not accepting that it has to be a chaotic situation playing out like a Hollywood movie. Now, is that to say that you shouldn't prepare? No, that is not that. You should, especially if you rely on government's assistance, federal government's assistance, which, you know, I'm not blaming you if you do, but you still got to prepare. You still got to prepare. But I'm just saying the states are not going to collapse just because the federal government does. Keith.
That's an interesting concept. I can see where you're going with that. It's going to be interesting. I think that if you have a collapse of society as we know it, I think that immediately the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have the creatures come out of the cracks, and instead of the government coming together like already in place, they're going to be dominated with those that are trying to get the power to grab because of all the voids that's going to be fighting. I like your scenario better.
I think Brother Davis wanted to chime in. I mean, think about the bad things that's happening. Who's funding the drug war? who's paying for the, who gets grants from the federal government to go out here and make drug arrests and fill up the jails and the prisons and what have you. The federal government pays for stuff like that to round up immigrants based on racial profiling. Okay. You know, the federal government gives them grants and stuff like that. Who's giving them this military equipment? The federal government. So the federal government has not always been a source of good, you know, when we break it down to the micro level of what a community is and what a nation is, because the definition of a nation is people who share common language, who share common background, and who geographically live around each other. So you're still a people are still a nation without a federal government in that system of control at that level. But again, the governor of North Carolina ain't going nowhere. The attorney general of North Carolina ain't going nowhere. The North Carolina Supreme Court still going to work. The state police still going to be work. The National Guard still going to be. It's not going to break down like a Hollywood movie.
Interesting. Okay, so with that being said, the other article, and I'm moving from that into this article because it seems to be somewhat connected with what our conversation is about what's going to happen afterwards. But it says right now, the record number of Americans no longer want to live in the United States. Anyone still calling America a land of the free is delusional at best. Things can continue to go from bad to worse in the United States, and people are feeling it, so much so that a record number of Americans no longer want to live in the United States at all. I think that's interesting because I spent a lot of my time agreeing with that chain of thought. I know it's something that me and Brother Dave talk about a lot of times. I'm like, hey, where's the best place to go? I think this is interesting in light of the conversation we were just having with Scotty and stuff, because according to that way, well, actually, let's go to in a different thing. Let me address what Scotty was saying. Unfortunately, when you find ourselves in the bowels of corruptness like we are, and I think that the Bible kind of backs this up, not directly, but it seems to point to this direction. And for all practical purposes, that society, that community, pretty much has to be almost destroyed before it turns around and starts moving back in the direction that it should have without the... without them being knocked in the head that they have to go through for that to happen. The only one that I can think of right off the top of my head would be Jonah, where he went and preached to the nation, the nation Nineveh, and they heard Jonah's message and they turned around. But other than that, that's the only one that I could think of that weren't all but destroyed for them to change their direction. So with that being the case, Dave, maybe you're right. Maybe once we have a destruction, and unfortunately, forgive me, I know that my outlook for this country is pessimistic at best. I don't see good things going on at all.
Keith, let me ask you this question, Keith. When we talk about the fall of the Roman Empire or the fall of the Persian Empire or the fall of the Byzantine Empire, we're talking about a large geographical region. And when those empires broke down, what emerged? But smaller states, right? Then you got Italy, then you got Greece, then you got, you know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, if the federal government was to disappear, then that would present the opportunity for people in their states to create something better. and manage something better. But it's not going to be what I feel like is a chaotic situation where there's just, it's just a free for all. You know what I'm saying? There's still going to be law enforcement. There's still going to be state militia. That's what the Second Amendment is part of. We know the racist roots about slavery and all of that. But in this scenario today, that's that you have militias and what have you. So it's not just going to be a total breakdown in quote unquote society because, you know, other people didn't just disappear when these other empires fell. New countries and nations emerge. Let's look at it that way. And I think Dave has said that's an opportunity if you don't like what you have now.
I agree with that. But unfortunately, I also can very easily see that with the mindset of the way people are today, I just see them having a massive power grab. So I think that after we have this massive war on this global level, which we're going to receive the brunt of it because all the nations are rising up against us, I think you're going to have massive civil wars in this country as people grab for power.
Oh, no, I wasn't including the variation of war. No, I'm just think of it like this. Right now, you got a partial federal government shutdown, which means that certain agencies ain't open no more. What if you had a full government shutdown because for whatever reason they can't agree, the two sides can't agree, since we know it's you know, two birds are on the same wing. But let's say they come to an impasse and it never opens up back again. The world's not gonna end. The world ain't got to end for us. That's opportunity. And what I'm saying is that state government is still, that's the framework. That's the framework right there. People are not going to abandon their posts, so to speak. And some people might even volunteer. Of course, there's going to be some people who try to take advantage of that. But again, this is why you prepare. So you're in the best position to represent and back it up with need be, you know, with militias and what have you. But I'm just saying it's not, I don't think it has to be this end of the world scenario. But I wasn't including war into it, just if the federal government just ceased to exist, the corporation dissolved, and these states are left to their own devices. And they already have their own devices. It's called their state constitutions.
That makes sense. It makes sense. I like your version better. It makes sense. I have to couple this with some of the other things that I see, you know, which I'm partial to, and I look at the fact that for the first time recently, I'm coming more on board with I think that on a global scale, we're heading probably closer towards prophecy and revelations and stuff like that. I see that coming into fruition. Now, as a disclaimer, I also understand that every generation since the ascension of Christ has believed that. So take that as a grain of salt. But I think it's interesting that when we do reach those times concerning prophecy and stuff, when it talks about all these other nations that has existed prior to Christ's reign here on earth, they talk about those same nations in Revelations and later on, and the United States is never mentioned in any of that. And I can't help but to believe that that holds a part where, you know, places where some of my thinking is, and the pessimism of how can a nation be rise to such greatness as this nation does and seem to be all but non-existent in later times. Just my thoughts. The other thing is, and it goes back to what we're saying, a record number of Americans no longer want to live in the U.S. I don't know. I think that the attraction that brought so many people to the United States, could that be returned conceptually as far as the government, et cetera, goes? Could the destruction turn back the hands of time almost to the beginning and to do it all over again, except putting in some things in place that we know would come about because of experience that we didn't necessarily know before? I don't know. A lot of the things that we're suffering from, the founding fathers of this country forewarned us about. Some of the things that you talked about, one of the things that they said is under no circumstances should you bring about a central bank. Obviously, that's one of the main things that leads to our destruction, but we had knowledge of that. I guess you still have to do, no matter how much knowledge and experience you have, you still got to deal and fight against the evil in man's natural heart. But it's interesting that a record number of Americans no longer want to live here. As a matter of fact, I had read an article not too long ago, and the United States is so aware of that. I think we talked about this one time before, is the fact that the numbers have become so great that you can't make a clean break from being a United States citizen any longer. In other words, if you were to declare, like, look, I've had enough of this, I'm done, I don't want no part of it, I'm leaving.
I feel like you got to take polls with a grain of salt, because for every quote-unquote American citizen of the U.S. government or U.S. incorporated that wants to leave, there's a bunch of people at the border right now ready to take your place.
Yeah, I think this is looking more from the aspect that, and I agree with that, but I think it's looking at more from the aspect that if you look at recent history, not too many American citizens were willing to renounce their citizenship. That number has skyrocketed. And I think that what I was saying was the numbers have skyrocketed so much that they're trying to pass legislation saying, look, even if you leave the country, you still got financial obligations to the country that you're going to have to continue to pay even after you renounce that citizenship. The only reason why they would do that is because enough citizens are leaving that it's providing a financial impact on the United States. So I think that's significant. And I also think it's very significant that when you have that mindset arising in the people, once that gets a foothold, it grows exponentially as well. Where are some of those other articles that we're going to talk about? We talked about the Iran moving towards uranium enrichment, something that we would have never anticipated not too terribly long ago. Talked about the teachers. We talked about China. Talked about the fact that they said that that a trade war always leads to military war. And it looks like this is no different. Talk about the troops. Hey, so you said that they were bringing the soldiers out of Syria. Is that correct?
No, I said the article I read said they were moving equipment out.
And how many troops are supposed to be there?
2,000.
And how many troops are supposed to be on the border?
I can't answer that.
How many do they say there is? That's right at 2,000, is it not?
What do you mean border? You the Iraqi border?
No. I mean the southern border where he wants this wall.
Oh, they didn't went home, man. They went down there and laid some wire and put up some fencing and went home.
I heard them.
It wasn't no more than a battalion. Maybe less than a battalion. About 500. So that was all kind of showy.
Okay, let's go back to the very first article that we started talking about. It says, response to U.S. global bullying. Iran, India ditch dollars to continue trading oil despite sanctions. You're looking at the end of the petrol dollar. The implications of that are so huge in more than one area, I think, because number one, you have all the nations coming together without the United States. Moving forward without the United States. But I think a bigger thing to look at with this is even the fact that because they're all coming together and because they all decided not to use the American dollar or deciding not to continue to use it, what that's going to mean is not only are they presenting even more formidable militaristically foes, but also that's going to bring about the fact that that's going to return literally trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars back to the United States. We look at Venezuela. I think where we are headed is going to be way worse than Venezuela when you look at their money, that they no longer even count their money because it requires so much of it to buy little items. I think that's going to be exponentially worse here, which goes back to what you were saying earlier, Scotty, about we've got to be prepared. It's always interesting to sit around and have these types of discussions. But what's the point of making the discussions if nothing's going to change? I think, again, Brother Davis touched on it as well as you, Scotty, is we could talk about all these things all we want to. It's kind of like, again, I'll go back to the Bible. There's so many instances there when it talks about not being just hearers of the word but doers of the word, because intelligence by itself, with intelligence without action, you might as well not even have the intelligence, because it's going to go just as far. It makes no difference if you don't put these things in place.
In that context,
these things in that only to come home quick, sir.
Oh, I was
go ahead, dude.
Yeah, I was saying in that context, you had to hear the word in that biblical context. You put it in order to hear the word. I mean, to do the word, you got to first hear the word. You know what I'm saying? So that's important. I feel like, you know, the importance of Tando Radio Show and the Black Talk Radio Network is, we're talking about these things, but we're critically analyzing things. And you also have to prepare people's mindset. Do you want to prepare them for failure, or do you want to prepare them for success in any given scenario? And I think that's just the importance of, you know, everybody who calls into the program or hosts the programs on the networks. That mental is so important. So do we program people? And this is something, you know, Brother Kwabena called me yesterday, Clear the Airways Project, and his and other allies of his, other line organizations, are getting this, what do you call it? I just watched a documentary on Chicago. They call it, it's not trap music. It's another kind of very violent form of rap, man. and you got these gangsters who are making rap and putting it on YouTube, and the system is facilitating it, putting it on Facebook. It's a very interesting documentary. It's posted on blacktalkradionetwork.com, made by this Afro-British dude. And so you know, you programming a criminal mindset into a people. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're talking about, that some of the dangers out there when we discuss, okay, if the government breaks down and whatever that means, that the federal government stops functioning as a corporation, we're going to have all these people out here robbing and pillaging, and it's going to be like in Venezuela and the food. And it doesn't have to be that way if you program the people to be prepared for that. Yo, don't panic. Don't fall out of sorts. This is why it's important to know the people in your community, you know? So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I think we got picked back up with that same conversation that you were talking about, Scotty. I think that's a lot to unpack. I believe it's time for a break. So,
can I add?
Yeah, hold on for us, Brother Davis, on the other side of the break.
Live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, we're coming back from the break that we just had, and Scotty, I think that you touched on primarily, you know, I'm new to this station, but from my outlook, the primary purpose of this whole radio thing to me, from my perspective, is to get people prepared for what's about to happen. And when I say prepared, the thing is, that's not, you can't look at that from a unitary point of view. That entails several different views. First off, you have to get what Scotty was saying. Scotty was saying what? You have to have a proper mindset. Well, you have to get good information first and foremost. You have to get information because that's what you're going to act on. But after you get this information, you have to make a decision whether you're going to accept that information or not. And after you accept that information or not, is it enough to motivate you to take action towards what that information is telling you to take action to? Time is short. And I think why it's becoming so important, because like I said, this isn't something that you're going to have to address on a unitary front. It's going to be a multi-front. The thing that Dave talked about, that we talked about earlier, is we are moving to an asset-based community. What that means is when this collapse takes place, everything that we've held our security and everything else on, the American dollar, is no longer going to exist. We talked about an article yesterday that once everything empties out the stores, and according to this article, that will take about 3 days. How much food do you have in your house? After 3 days is up, what do you have to rely on? Now, the only way to get food after that, from our traditional way of thinking, is to get money to go purchase more food. But the problem, of course, is that the money that we relied on, that most of us have saved in, holds no more value. Dave would be getting on me right now, and I said money. I didn't mean money. I meant currency. So we have to start looking at the viewpoints that, first off, we're going to have some kind of asset, some kind of food, some kind of something to sustain life, to propel you to go forward.
Hey, brother Keith, don't forget you got Brother Davis waiting in the wings.
Oh, I'm sorry. Brother Davis, go ahead.
Hey, brother, it's a great show, man, but I think we failed to realize we underestimate the demon here. Evil is at an all-time high. Your water is contaminated. Your food is contaminated. Your atmosphere is contaminated. This isn't by chance. The media is contaminating your minds. The victimization of trends literally are putting people in a surrender mindset. And in turn, that means that death is acceptable with a certain amount of people. They understand what they're doing. These people are not going to give up the controls without killing as much and everything that they can. And one of the things we fail to realize is that we have lived in a time in which has been the most prolific and has been the most, should I say, transforming, but so has every other age. And they have died, so we will too. The problem is we have not prepared ourselves due to the destruction of Westernism's effect on our minds. Once we be able to get back to understanding that we are not even living as we were supposed to live, because see, we have found that it's easier for people to provide for us instead of providing for ourselves. When we grasp the fact that there are so many things that are in our physical assets that are the magnetic balance to the cosmological life that we live, we'll understand that the connection is far greater than Westernism has taught us. And they know the truth because they broke into the libraries of Africa and India, and they have taken that knowledge and squandered it and eliminated millions so it would not get down to us. They just didn't understand the power of the so-called intuitive DNA connection, which is what really we have to tap into to be able to save our energy sources to survive what is to come. It's not going to be like there's going to be groups here and there to survive this. No, this is going to be devastation across the board and around the world. You see it already happening. The biggest problem that we have is people have become, they've become relaxed in the lifestyle that has been provided for them. And the sad part about it is that's exactly where they want you, because that makes you an easy target. You got to go to the grocery store, so they poison your food. You got to drink water, so they poison all the public resources, so you have to buy it, which makes it easier to poison that. Then they contaminate your minds with all this stuff. You see these people killing each other now? That's because of the combination of media and pharmaceuticals. They understand exactly what they're doing because they want to kill everything off. Gates is starting a program that starts this year where he's blocking the sun. The very essence that provides life here on Earth, they're blocking. And y'all underestimate this, your enemy?
You're talking Bill Gates.
Absolutely. Don't take my word for it. Like Scotty will tell you, I always say, do your research. But he has a program right now with Harvard University where in this April, they are going to start putting these so-called particle balloons, and they're going to set them up in the atmosphere, and they're going to go out into the stratosphere, and they're going to release a particle that reflects the sun's light away from Earth. You don't think that's going to have a devastating effect on life as we know it? People better wake up. We breathe, if we're at a state of rest, this is a quick crash. If we're at a state of rest, we breathe 18 times in that 1 minute, okay? 18 times. So if you multiply that by 60, that means that your heart had to beat that many times in that minute. Now multiply that by 60 minutes. Now multiply that by 24 hours. That's 25,940 beats a day. If you separate that by 12, that gives you the zodiac calendar that was placed upon the world in the beginning of time in order for there to be some sort of measurement. These chronologically, they balance with the human body. The very galaxy that you see, that spinning motion, That is the energy cycle of life. You realize when a woman is impregnated, that seed starts that same cycle? There's too many connections here for us to sit back and think that these people who think they're God, who think that they have a right to control your life and will, are going to be the final solution. It is not. The only thing that becomes makes that the final solution is how you perceive it in your mind and the due diligence that you're doing on yourself. Because like you said already, we give them the information. If they don't operate in it, it's not our fault because we gave you the information. It comes down to a personal truth. And that personal truth is where we have to start if there's going to be a change. And that change may appear to be minute to someone else, but the person in the transformation process, it is so far beyond the imagination of the viewer than it is the participator. I'm telling you from personal experience. And I'm going to tell you, we are where we are today because we have become complacent about who we are as a people. We've accepted all of what we were taught to be true when we know we've been deceived. I just wanted to add that, brother. Let me sit back and listen.
We thank you for those comments. And again, some of the stuff that fascinates me so much, Brother Davis, is the fact that it's in my mind, it's in my mode of thinking. And the reason being is because everything that you said is backed up according to Scripture. One of my favorite words is, well, it's not one of my favorite words, but one of my most encouraging is, in the Bible, it talks about a remnant. And basically what it talks about is there's always going to be a small group that follows after that's going to survive and continue on the path that they should have already been on. And they didn't move to the right, to the left, but they stayed on the path, and they stayed on the path regardless of the people that are around them and regardless of what the people around them were doing. And I think that falls right in line with what you were talking about, because even though you have this radio station that is designed to preach the truth, and I'm talking more of a physical than a spiritual sense, but the correlation is exactly the same. Even though this is geared to go out to the masses, only a small group of people are going to respond in the manner of which they should respond. So everything that you said, Brother Davis, I agree with wholeheartedly. I think one of the other things that need to be pointed out is, again, is to wake up to, I don't know who's listening, who doesn't ordinarily listen to, et cetera, but this person personified as Bill Gates, who is, in most people's opinion, is a great guy, if you will. He gives all this money to charities and to help people and all of that. Well, he's one of the largest proponents of a massive depopulation. We've talked about that before. But literally, this man is a proponent of the thought to erase this earth of billions of people. Billions, which falls right in line of what you were saying, Scotty. I mean, I'm sorry, Brother Davis. So again, we appreciate your knowledge and your input. And because of that, just another taste of why we definitely need to be tuning into Wise Wednesday, in which you're going to come back and share some of your knowledge with us. Well, it's almost about that time, actually. I appreciate everybody that had input. I probably appreciate you even more than usual. Brother Dave wasn't here with me, so... he'll be returning back soon. Tomorrow, of course, is Wise Wednesday. And we look forward to that. So with that being said, you all have a blessed and wonderful rest of the week. Meditate on some of the things that were said, either today and in the past. Go ahead, Brother Scotty. Did I hear you say something?
No.
No? Okay. So with that, have a blessed, be safe. We don't say bye, but we'll say see you. Talk to you later. Be blessed.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months.